Good evening, I'd like to welcome you to the November 28th special meeting of the Yuma County Board of Commissioners. I ask you to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Susie.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Here.
Commissioner Aaron's?
Here.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Here.
Commissioner Wargall?
Here.
Commissioner Batchelor?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the approval of the agenda that's before us tonight, Commissioners.
So move.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Any changes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Boyer, I'll let you take over from here.
Public comment?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's
just purpose of the meeting,
right,
not public comment.
Purpose of the meeting tonight is one, to introduce the new commissioners to information and really give you guys an opportunity as the outgoing commissioners to answer questions that they might have as we move forward. We put a book together as you did when you came in, you got your commissioners in the books. These books for over time. But really the purpose of this meeting is to share the information in there. Obviously we can't cover all of this in one meeting or two meetings or three meetings, and I think they'll tell you it's a year, it's 2 years to go through the process to see what we do here. But really the purpose of this meeting is to share information tonight, to answer questions that you might have as we move forward. Go through this. We'll talk about when we set committee assignments. We're going to go through the whole book. I know that Paul in the training right now, and they're going through a lot of this. Robert Hughes, Florida, Folia, and that kind of stuff. So we'll briefly touch that. We're not going to go through stuff that you're doing right now in the training process. But the purpose of this is share information, ask questions. Hopefully, this group can share their wisdom over the number of years they've been here too.
Thank you, Mr. Boyer. Public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board? Has 3 minutes. Please come forward. Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. And the introduction of the Board of Commissioners. I'd like to welcome Ryan. Board of Commissioners is the top elected body in the county. We have other elected officials. We are the governing body of the Board of Commissioners. I will defer to the other commissioners that have been on the board longer than I, and they're all on this side, if they'd like to make any comments.
Well, I will.
No, I knew you would.
Did you?
I didn't think that. Well,
no. It's an interesting form of government, as you will see when you go through MSU Extension, because we are seven elected officials, but we aren't the only elected officials in Emma County, because we have three judges, prosecutor, sheriff, clerk here, who reports to the people, register of deeds, and others, sheriff. So it's a cooperative venture. And you will learn more about that at your MSU Extension training. One of the things that's really critically important that that every elected board, every school board, every county board needs to remember, and that is the number of people that report to the board. Because the answer is really easy to remember. It's one. Exactly. Brian had it correct. Which means there are other people in the building that you will see, and you can say hello to, the elected officials are your peers, and so there's no real friction with talking to the prosecutor or the sheriff or the judges. But department heads that report to the administrator are really his employees. And it's really important to respect that, because we give the administrator a major responsibility to run county government. And he needs to have good eye contact with the people that report to him. People like Pam, people like Mike, people like Denise, And it's important for us to respect their world, their roles, and that when you have issues, that you direct them to the administrator and try to avoid contact that involves going around the administrator to anybody else. Because he's your employee, and we want him to be strong and a good leader, and we want to do all the things that we need to allow him to do that. And that isn't always the case, but we are very fortunate in having a strong administrator, and so my goal always has been to give him the space to be strong. So that's my speech for the night, my first speech for the night.
Neil, Tony?
Go ahead, Neil.
Chain of command matters. Just to put a bow on what he says, if you're in the military, you understand chain of command, and it's that way for a reason. Works and it produces the least amount of problems. So just remember that chain of command.
Stay in your lane. Understand what that means. And I didn't the first couple of years. You have to figure that out. But if you're in doubt, call the administrator. That's what he's there for. Verify your facts. You know, I think all of you guys know that I dig in. Dig in. Find out. Go and find somebody who can give you that information. The clerk's office has those great big red books that are for years past. Our audios are only good for 2 years. Sometimes some of the facts you can't find online. The books are there. Years and years and years of history are in there. And lastly, I'd say make sure your car has lots of quarters in it because depending on when your meetings are, you will need them.
Mike, you want to say that?
Just enjoy it. It's very interesting. I remember my first couple meetings in the training and walking out going, oh, this is what I just stepped into. I think it's also important to go through that thick booklet as best as you can before you get in, because there are things that I thought I knew that, honestly, I didn't. And it took a little time and some tutelage and asking questions to really get grounded on procedures and other things that were happening. Check out that page on mandated services and what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and remember that, you're taking care of people in a district that voted you in, and we're a northern Michigan county, and there are many times where we can look at the world and look at issues that are going on that really doesn't impact things here. And it's to me, it's more beneficial to take care of the people that I support or that supported me, that elected me, and do what's best for a northern Michigan county, not a state or states or country. And sometimes that's very difficult because there's parts of you saying, really want to do it this way, or I think it should be done this way, but does it fit where we live? Will it actually make life better for people in the county? And I guess that's my little thought there.
Dave?
I would say, really lean on your administrator for the facts. Like Tony was saying, I found it very beneficial to, especially being not involved in local government for very long, really researching the long-term issues that have been going on for, a long time. Very beneficial. I leaned on senior commissioners as well for wisdom and guidance at times. That was very beneficial for me. Research your committees that you're interested in. Some of them, I'm sure you're very familiar with. But really look into those and see what interests you and kind of study up on the things that they've addressed in the past and the things they're dealing with, and just communication overall with other commissioners and your county staff. I think that's key to success and really researching the issues. And that's something that I learned fairly early was researching the issues, and it helped me out a lot. So.
Matt?
I don't have anything to add at this point.
And we are elected by districts, but we do represent a county. So sometimes we're dealing with something in Tony's district, my district, Charlie's district, and we are a seven-headed monster, as somebody once said. And that's how we all have to, when it's done, it's done. When it's done, we're seven. So that's all I have. And we'll move on to the roles and responsibilities of the county administrator.
Before we hop into that, in your books, we did provide you in the front pages the list of commissioners. You will be getting cell phones. You'll be getting your laptops. We'll do that in January. So we put a list in there. The numbers that we have are not published right now until we get your cell phones, because I think what we have in the front of the book are your personal phones. So we'll update this page when we get the cell phones assigned. We did put a tentative schedule in there, and really, for the meetings for next year, and really the thing that is important is the organizational meeting. That's the important one. This schedule is something you'll approve at the organizational meeting, and that's set up for January 3rd at 4:30 right here. We'll get information out to you on that one, but that is the important meeting. That's when we elect the chairperson, the vice chair. That's when we'll set the agenda up for the year, so you'll know in a year in advance what the agenda looks like. We look at our 2023 fee schedule, meeting schedule, and then the big one is looking at the boards and committee and figuring out which committees everybody gets assigned to. We have made a few changes in that process in some of the committees where we had two members or three members. We've gone down to two members, but we're going to take a look at that. So in the book, there's a list of all the different committees. So please go through that. Make sure you look at that. And the commissioners that are still on, you know, a lot of you kept some of the ones that you had, but we'll have that discussion at that meeting too. So I don't know if we'll get everything assigned to that meeting, but that kind of is the goal, to go through that. We give you a description of what each one of those are, and hopefully that will be helpful as we move into this. And certainly the members here will share with you, which if there's questions on any of those committees, what they do. In the book, we've given you an agenda, and then there's attachments in the books too. We'll kind of go through attachments, each one of those attachments that we have in here. In number one, under David's report, we just had a couple of things on governance. Under number one, you're going through this right now in your training under Michigan State University, the extension. It has that. It has the mandated services that you'll talk about, too, if you haven't already talked about that. But we put that information in the book for you. Going on to mine, I think you heard a little bit. My responsibility as administrator is the day-to-day responsibility of running the county. This is a little bit unique. I came from a city. I worked in municipalities 30-something years working in local government. And the difference between working for a city and then working for the county is the number of elected officials we have. In the city that I managed, we only had really one elected official, and it's the city council. Everybody else was appointed. And then still, the city manager did the day-to-day operation as the county. But what's unique about that is the relationships that we have to build with the other elected officials, not only these folks, as I think Charlie or Tony might have said. We've got the sheriff, has his own department. We work with them on budget. We have the treasurer. We can go through all the clerk's office. And they run their own offices, but we have to support their offices and what they do. And then when we look at the day-to-day, the non-elected officials, I think we're 20-something different departments that we have that report directly to the administrator. We work with all the offices on hiring. We work with them if there's any employment issues. We're dealing with that on a daily basis. Responsibility for budgets, personnel matters, capital improvements, and really the function of my job, Mike's job, and staff that we have here is to provide you with the best information we can when we come to make decisions on policies and procedures. That really is the function of what we do. You think of this as a corporation, you've got the board of trustees, and then you have your management staff, and that's really what we're operating here. Our stock is in our business is providing services to the residents. And that's what we try to do. Not only that, we work with the various committees, boards, commissions, work with the cities, the townships, the villages. So it's not something new every day for us. Obviously, one of the big things we're working on is in Dalston right now, and the situation we have at the airport. That's a big component of what we do on a daily basis. But we certainly have very many positive things in this board over the last couple of years that I've been here has really made some tremendous advancements on how this county is governed, procedures and policies that have been put in place and purchasing. You'll hear a little bit about that, finance and the way things are done. We are certainly, we're moving this in the right direction, and it's really the support of this board to help make that move forward. With that, it's interesting, we have the secured entrance policy, but you'll see as we move forward, we have policies and procedures put in place. When the pandemic came in place and some of the incidents that happened around this country in municipal facilities, the secure policy and how we control entrance into this building was really important for the safety of employees and the public that comes in there. I won't go through this, but if it's in your package, you can go through that. To move forward, we really, there's a good under number four. It talks about county boards and commission, the rules and procedures for conducting a meeting. And I think that's important. We talked about the organizational meeting, which is scheduled, and it outlines that. And outlines in here kind of the way the meetings are set up. We have two board meetings a month, and then we reserve a third meeting if needed. And we've had quite a few. We've had one on housing, transit.
This one.
So at times throughout the year, depending on what we have, we set up those special meetings. We'll give you advance notice, but when you put your schedule together, we want you to mark down all three dates, the special dates that we have, and normally it's only the two meetings.
Dave, are you going to say anything else about the rules of procedure, or was that, because could I just interject?
You sure can. Please jump in as I go through this.
I would suggest that you read that document very carefully. Print it out, take it with you, bring it to a meeting from time to time, because it really is the agreed upon process that's worked and will work, because it will reduce the amount of confusion. It will give you steps to get things done. It will remind you of Robert's rules in there, which are truly important. But I would suggest, it's a lot to read. I couldn't digest it in one time, but I would suggest you print it and keep it handy from time to time until you're comfortable with it, because it's really important for you.
And please, during meetings, if there's questions, ask the questions. That's why we have an attorney at every one of the meetings. If there's questions on procedures and policies, that's what they're there for, to help answer these questions. Again, nobody expects this right off the bat, everything. It takes time, and we still ask questions as we go forward.
I would definitely, I know our first few meetings were all on Zoom, and I remember Tony telling me how important it was to have those in front of me, and I found myself taking notes a lot on when the procedure was used and how it went to try to help me better understand it, because even though I thought I had a pretty good understanding of it, yeah, I didn't. So, I mean, taking the notes and paying attention to that and learning the procedure, especially before you get up here and have to make decisions, is really important.
One of the most important things is the process by which we come to have motions before the board. They're published in advance, which, by the way, was not the case 10 years ago. By staff, the administrator has, based on what he has heard from commissioners and what he recommends, produces a written motion. He gives a recommendation and legal counsel reviews it, so that when you see us reading motions and it looks mechanical, it's because there was a pretty lengthy process to make sure that we weren't buying and selling property inappropriately, which is one of the things we just did at the last meeting. And we did things in the past, years ago, where you went away wondering what exactly you did, and in fact today things are coming up. We're saying, what did they mean when they did it? certain real estate issues. So it looks mechanical, but it's there to serve everybody, to reduce confusion, increase clarity, and ensure that your intention, the board's intention, and the administrator's intention is reflected in the motion.
Not just the motions, but I believe the summaries. I know that I've talked with all of the gentlemen here, but I said most everything you need to know is in the summary. If you just take the time to read them, you'll understand it. There's really no questions. Sometimes I was asked, why was there no discussion? Well, we didn't need to have a discussion. It was explained completely in the summary. So I'm very proud that those are in place, because we did not have that stuff when we came in the first 2 years. So we really, I am proud to walk out with the improvements that we have put in place.
When we had the meeting, in the last meeting in the middle school about transit, that the reason I voted no was because that was a motion just brought up at the last minute, and I was like, that's not how we do things by Charlie. You know, like, that is exactly how we don't do things. And I was like, that's why I voted no, because I thought it should go through our regular process how we're supposed to do it.
And I agreed with you. That's why I voted no. It needed to be an agenda item.
So when you go through this, you will see that there is an order that talks about what consent, what we put on consent agendas. We do try to put as much information out there for you in that summary, as Tony has said, that's important so you can read through that. The public can read through that. When we have a Monday meeting, we try to get the information out Thursday. Both the meetings, the Monday meeting, Thursday meetings, we try to have that information to you, the packet out available to the public that Thursday before the meeting. There is sometimes that slips to Friday. That is because, especially in the second meeting, we really only have a week to prepare for that. We're trying to get this information out to you a week in advance. And we work with 20-some different departments. The information always doesn't come in a timely fashion. But the way we set the agendas is that the board, the chair and the vice chair, we sit down at the beginning of the month and then go through all the information that you'll see on there. So we ask our department heads to submit that information for the month. Now that's why things get added later on, because we ask at the beginning. I think our meeting is set up for
tomorrow
for December's. So we'll go through each one from what the department has. We'll go through those topics and then make sure we have the legal review, make sure we have motions put in place, and we put that together. So that information is prepared. We work on the following. We're working on December's agenda right now, and we'll have that put together, even though that the first meeting is not till the 12th, technically, but that's how long it takes us to put the agenda. We spend a lot of time on the agenda, two or three of us, putting that information and getting it from the department, putting the motions together. But in this, it talks about what those, each one of those are, what a consent agenda is, how we set that up. So that information is available. I'm not going to go through Robert's Rules of Order, because I think you're doing that right now. But there are some cheat sheets we put in here that I think are helpful, so you don't have to bring your full book along with you. This cheat sheet talks about some of those things and how to, if you want to amend a motion, what it takes to be able to do that. And again, as we go through this process, the attorney is available. And if there's a question on a motion, that's what the attorney is there to help us or help you if you have any questions on that.
Any questions, gentlemen, from you guys before we keep moving on? We're throwing
it
out here and throwing it out here.
One of the things that was established was the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Commissioners, and that is in your book. That's number 6, and that's one of the things that we need you to review and actually sign. So we get a signed copy of everybody that you have read through this, and these are the conducts and the code of conducts that you're going to do as a commissioner. So that's important. We'll get that you have copies now. We'll hand that out. We'd like to make sure that we get that from all of our commissioners on the January 3rd meeting. So we'll collect that. When we get to HR, she has some paperwork that needs to be filled out, too.
Open Meetings Act. I know that that's part of what your conversation is going on, too. So you have the booklet in here. We won't go through everything in there unless you have questions on that. But I will tell you, and that's why we're doing budget hearings, if there's any more than four people in a room, that constitutes a meeting, and we have to schedule a meeting. More than three. If you have more than three. And that goes for emails, that goes for texts. When we send something out, and I'll send an alert out to you on a text message, that's not something that we respond to. If we have a situation going on, whatever it might be, I'll send it out, but that's not in our emails, aren't something that we have chains of communications from. That would be a violation if we all started texting back and forth about a situation that's going on. And I'm sure they're going to talk to you, civic events that we can go to. We can have more than three members there. But any time that we're talking about business, it's going to be an open meeting, and it will be a set meeting. So one of the things that, going on to number nine, the Compensation Reimbursement Committee was established to look at how commissioners were compensated. And I can tell you that, one, you're coming in and you will be getting a raise, but the process that we have is changing. And the commissioners... Yeah, for this side, is if you were on this committee, you got paid. If you did this, you did this, and it was very complicated. So there was a commission put together and spent, I don't know, 3 months going through this and came up with pretty much a flat fee that you were going to get. The only exception was the Zoning Board and Planning Commission. And if you served on either one of those, you got an extra stipend just because of the amount of time and the travel that you have to doing those ones where you're actually going out to site, looking at what potentially is going on at the site that you might be discussing, the Planning Commission.
Dave, I'll mention that the reason you will see, for example, three commissioners on the Airport Committee isn't because the Airport Committee needs three commissioners. It was because we all got paid $50 to go to a meeting. And I say that pretty intentionally because, first of all, we got rid of nine committees a few years ago, and they weren't necessarily productive, but they did generate revenue, and I hate to cast dispersions on folks in the past, but I think you will find that if you filled all of those slots, it's going to take up an immense amount of time, and you don't add any value, you don't gain any value, and so there are a few that have three, and I think the language says up to three, and
up
I would
three.
Suggest you really think long and hard whether you really need to be have three commissioners on a committee. It's because we have now changed it so you don't get the per diem per committee for good reason.
Well, that really was the only reason we wanted to
change. That's one of them. No, but actually, in terms of accounting, it was miserable because there are also committees that you're not allowed to get compensation for.
So I think as we go to that January 3rd meeting and we start assigning those committees out, and looking at that, we had several members here that took on multiple committees, and I'm not so sure that's going to be like that in the future. So Parks and Rec has two members on it, the Airport Board, three members. So we need to make sure we fill them with at least one, and then we can fill them up as needed. But it's always important that we have a commissioner there because they're the spokesperson for what's going on in the county. Anybody who served on this committee?
The three of us right here.
Do you want to talk anything about it? So basically, as I mentioned, it's a flat fee now.
This is a different committee than what we served on. We served on one.
That's true.
This was a citizens committee.
We were on a short-term ad hoc for
compensation. Right.
So it's spelled out here. If there's any questions on that one, that wouldn't make sense that you guys served on that one.
Well, we found out, for example, that the Networks Northwest is in Traverse City. When you And I am on that because I remember the dead silence. Everybody else said, no, I don't want to do that. I didn't either, but I agreed to it. And so you got paid nothing except mileage, but it would take an hour and a half to drive to Traverse City, an hour and a half back, and a three-hour meeting where you're not sure what exactly the benefit was to Emmett County. And so you could claim mileage, but it was just half a day gone, and it won next week. And I'm debating, and there were a few other, Board of Health, that Matt and I go to, lengthy meetings, no compensation. And it sounds like we're whining, but, you know, it's a good part of your day. And you do it because you think it's important, but the lack of compensation sort of suggests it ranks its importance. So we've changed all of that. So
we've changed it, but we built that in there that the committees are important to be a part of, and that's why that it's the group looked at this and said, we understand the commitments that you have to make. This isn't a way not to go to committees, but we built that price in there, and hopefully this offsets that. And it's not $50 here, $50 there. This is the set fee, and we still need the involvement from the members.
And I guess just a comment on how that's paid out. So it will be paid on the same payroll dates as the employee staff get paid, so it will be paid over 26 days. So you will get a check every 2 weeks direct deposited into your account. And Denise will go over all that lovely information when she talks about it. Okay. Ready for procurement?
Procurement policy, so did this go through?
Me?
That's a good thing. Wait to Pam next.
It's been a long day. I agree. Okay, so when I first started in 2018, we really did not have a procurement policy in place. And this has been a work in progress over the last few years, and it's changed a couple times because we've learned that, you know, with some things it just doesn't work that way. What we were doing is we were doing purchase orders for everything. As you know, that's very time-consuming. So we changed that process. The procurement threshold requirements are as follows. So anything under $999.99, the department head or delegated department can authorize it. There's no PO required, none of that. No purchase order, you don't have to get three bids. Anything between $1,000 and $2,999.99, it's an informal bid or quote. The department head or the delegate authorizes it, and then it goes through the finance and accounting department to push it through. Anything over $3,000 to $24,999.99 has to have informal quote. So you have to have three in order to get those pushed through. The county administrator, the delegate, or finance, and or the finance department can approve those. Now, anything over $25,000 has to come before the board, and it also has to have a formal RFP process. So it has to go out to bid. In the past, they didn't necessarily do that. So this has been a very positive change, I think, for our county, and it keeps everybody on track. They know what they have to do, and there's no exceptions to this rule. There may be, like, for instance, this last year we had an issue with vehicles. Couldn't find them. So we couldn't really get three quotes. So it was brought before the board to let them know that this is what was going on, and the board approved. So there are some instances that we have to kind of bypass the policy, but there has to be a very good reason, and it has to be approved by the board.
It still ultimately gets approved by the board. We could have an emergency, a generator goes out that's critical for the airport operation. We have to repair it. We will bring that as an after fact, and the board will approve that. There isn't anything purchasing-wise that the department head is not responsible. So each department head is responsible for their budget and what happens in that budget. We hold them accountable for what their staff might do. We have this policy in place, but it's still, you could have someone in your department that orders something, but ultimately comes back to that department that is responsible for any spending within their budget.
And our office scrutinizes all of the purchases. And if we don't like what's been presented, it goes back to the department head, and they have to correct it before it goes any further.
And the formal bid process that we have now, we actually have a staff person that works with the departments to create, we have a template that we put in place. Anytime that we're purchasing something, there's a boilerplate that's set up, and all that department needs to do is give us that information on the equipment that they're looking for, and then we fill that in. But the purchasing department is responsible for going through that process. Before, it was kind of up to the department, hey, you can go do this, you can do this. I think we're still correcting some of the problems from the past.
But it's getting better.
It's getting much better. The process is in place now, so that won't happen.
The other policy that we do have is a credit card use policy, and all of our staff have to sign off on this before they can actually use a credit card so that they understand if they don't turn in the correct receipts, if they put something on the mission, they're going to reimburse the company for.
So
a lot of things that we use credit cards for, PD, so professional development. Or there's some companies that won't take a check, or we have an emergency, we have to order this part. That's what we use the credit card for. We are looking at, hopefully sooner than later, going to a different way of doing the credit card, because currently it all comes through our office, and we have to reconcile it. We want to put that back on the department heads and make them reconcile their own credit cards, get that information to us for payment, because that is a very time-consuming process that we have in place right now. So that's mainly what we use the credit card for. So if somebody goes on a conference, they'll take the credit card, put their hotel on it, pay for their conference itself, their meals, and then they in turn have to turn in the original receipts with detail, or we will not reimburse, we will not pay. They will reimburse the company. And there is, when they go to a conference, there is no alcohol. So, any questions on that policy? And again, we did not have a credit card use policy when I started. So, these are a lot of things that we're trying to put in place to correct that weren't happening. Actually, what I want to go over is what you guys will fill out on a monthly basis that is supposed to be turned in within 30 days after the end of every month. This will be for any mileage that you can get reimbursed for. We will have a sheet that tells you which committees that you can get reimbursement for mileage on. And then that will go through payroll and get paid on your check once a month. But it's, Tim, can you fill this in? And it's really simple. I'll have him, you just put your name here, the date.
Is that going to have only our committees on it that we're on?
Well, this will, no, because we can't really do that with this form. So you're going to have to look at the sheet that we hand out that says what committees you're on and whether or not it gets mileage.
Right.
We tried to set this up that way,
okay,
but it was way too complicated.
Okay.
So, and then, so you're just going to put the name of the meeting, so let's just put Matt, or put Board of, yeah, put Matt. And then the purpose, you went down to a transportation meeting. And then possibly where it was at. And then there's no cost of lodging here, let's say. If there was, you would put it here, or any meals. And then the number of miles, just put 100 in. It'll automatically fill that out for you. So, and then once you're done, you're going to turn this in at the end of the month, sign it, and it can either go to HR, or it can go to us in the finance, and we will give you something. So you know the email addresses, if you want to just email it, you can, or you can drop it off, it's up to you. So, but that is due within 30 days after the end of each month. so that we can make that process.
And we'll help you through the first couple months, so we make sure that you've got the right committees. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we go through the budget process, too.
I will just mention on behalf of Pam, this is your workplace, and when you read the tax code, it says you can't expense driving from home to work.
Right.
This is work, so you can't get mileage, even no matter how far you're driving, to get to work. You can, however, if you're going to the Pelston Airport or Traverse City or some other place, you can get mileage, but coming to the place of work doesn't, is not reimbursed.
Thanks, Charlie. Any questions on that?
Personnel policy. Denise, I think you have an update on that too, right?
Last January, the board approved an updated personnel manual. The book, in your book, you have the old one. So I'm going to give you some updates. So you have.
I think the new one's in their book.
It is.
Yeah, it was just the old one was on Novus.
Oh, there's only a book.
Yeah.
Oh. There you go.
No, it's the 2010.
Not the ones I did. Not the books I made.
One thing I'd like to point out is Denise White and Dave White both have the same email. So the easy ones I'll take, the hard ones give to Denise.
And pal buddies. As Pam said, your payments will go or spread over 26 months. Because we will not have had the elections for chair and vice chair, by the time we process the first payroll, we'll make those adjustments. I think you all received this packet. Had some information to fill out. This is how we set up the profiles in the system so that we can get to pay. So the sooner you get that back to us, the better. And then at the back, there's also an I-9 form. I need you guys to fill that out as well. And you'll need to bring in two forms of identification. It's either your driver's license and your Social Security card or a passport. And unfortunately, that has to be signed. You have to have a witness to that signature.
So just bring that in.
Just bring that in, and we'll take care of it. Take about 5 minutes, that's all. And Neil, I need a Social Security card from you, and Dave, I need a signature from you. So, but it'll take 2 seconds, and I'll get you all figured out.
I don't have a card on me.
We just want to get the
bring
records.
My passport. I haven't had a Social Security card in years.
Okay, passport's fine. Great.
And don't bring your Medicare card. I tried that, but they don't allow that, even though you have to show all the same documentation to get it.
Got different numbers.
Did anybody have any questions on the forms that were in the packet? Pretty easy. Okay. Yeah, sure. Whatever's easy for you guys. That's all I really had.
You want to talk anything in here? No.
About the personnel manual?
Okay.
Mostly because you're their only employee, so.
Yeah, it just, what that personnel manual is a guideline that we give to the staff. They understand that rules, procedures, policy, IT policies in their internet usage, all that information is within this packet.
And they sign for it so that we have their acknowledgement that they know they're supposed to read and understand it. And a lot are, we have four unions that we have contracts with, and a lot of the policies within the personnel manual are largely, they mirror each other a lot. So, and that's something that we've really worked at over the years to try to get them very consistent so that all of staff is treated as consistently as possible.
And we just negotiated with all of our contracts and they're set for?
We've got the sheriff's contracts are good through 25 and steelworkers is good through 24.
Chair, I have a question for Denise. Last year we had that program that we had to do online to help us with understanding our email process. I don't remember what it was called.
The security, yeah, IT security. Yep.
Are you planning on doing that?
We've kept up with it with all of our new. We have not gotten a new series or a new set of those programs, but we have maintained it with everybody coming on, like we have with sexual harassment and some of the other ones.
Just only because I know Mr. Lofbaum is not a great computer expert yet. I think that those classes will be very beneficial, and I know that they were for me. It took me a couple tries to get through, but...
We can do it for other commissioners.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It was beneficial. And,
yeah, it was.
We got hit a couple times with phishing, and people really didn't understand that. Somebody actually went out and bought some credit cards because their county administrator or department had asked them to go out and do it. They actually did it. And... I don't know how much training you can provide, but there's a lot of
emails this year. Remember, we got one that came from you, but it wasn't
right.
Yeah. And I think it's only going to get worse, but I think that that's very beneficial. It was to me anyways.
For a while, we were getting a lot of, I don't know what they're called, spam fish or whatever, but we were, like, I would get an email from you saying, please change my direct deposit, and here's my new account information. Thank you. And if you looked up in the email address, you could see it was not. And I got one on from you for 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
right away, boss.
Tatum quite a bit.
I open everything.
No. A lot of times I just shoot them at Tatum and say, Tatum, what do you think? And he says, get rid of it.
Tatum sent us out of it, too.
Yeah.
And I was just informing that someone.
You want anything to say, anything, Tatum?
Yeah. Oh, I
guess. Denise called it out. Fishing. They know that you possess some power or decision making or finance, and they go after those people, they grab hold of it. And the training that Mr. Dreyer is talking about is just the recognition of seeing it. And that's really the best education we can have. So we can't prevent everything other than block eating all together. We know we can't do that. It's just the recognition of it. Mm-hmm. As it was earlier.
And the trainings only take 10 or 15 minutes, and a lot of it is repetitious, so that by the time you're done, there's six courses, I believe, and by the time you're done with it, you find yourself starting to look for those things and just getting naturally more aware that there might be something there you don't want to deal with.
Very helpful.
If you have any questions as you go through the personnel manual or anything else about payroll or any of those things, just give me a call. Okay.
Thank you. One of the... packets of information we put in here is an overview of the departments. It's only, most of them, it's a one page. What we won't do is, we had one meeting where we had all the departments come in, about 4 hours, give an overview. We won't do that again, but we do have some key departments. I think it's important for you to know. One of our goals is many of them do yearly updates, and We will continue to do that, have departments come in, or if there's a department you want to meet with and understand a little bit more, I'm happy to set that up with you as a department head. But as you go through the book, you will see all the different departments that are in within the county. A lot of good information in there, but we will certainly, as we go throughout the year, we will have department heads come in and give an update. We have a couple department heads. Tammy comes in and gives an update. We get an update on the fair, so we certainly will give you the opportunity to know what's going on in the county. But there's things like Veterans and the Fair. It's part of the county. You might not know that, but that's all in here. In the last thing in the packet, or in the book, is the different committees that we have. All the committees are in here. There is a couple of changes that need to be made in this book. You haven't done it yet.
Nope, but I will.
There's one on the Planning Commission and Zoning Board of Appeals and the Sanitary Code Board of Appeals. There's just a couple things things that, one, haven't been approved yet. The Planning Commission just approved for only two members, not three members. And then the Zoning Board's got a couple of changes that's going to be coming before us, too. So,
Sanitary Code's got several items to correct emerging issues here.
So we will update that. But as you go through this, you will see all the different boards, and some of them we have the bylaws behind them, and we will go through this when we do the meeting in January so we have a better understanding of this. That's all I got.
Well, that's it for a minute. Rich, do you have any questions? Any questions?
I have a statement. Charlie wanted us to go more than two hours. He gets paid extra.
Three.
Well, he's going to be unemployed in January.
He's going to want a percentage of your check.
He wants to take a collection for the $20 that we're going to get.
He'll be consulting.
I mean, we went through this very fast, and I understand that. You get an opportunity to read through this. And certainly don't ever hesitate to give me a call. I think I've given you all my cell phone number. Don't hesitate to call if you have a question.
If I could, Mr. Chairman and Dave, one that's different is Big Lots. So we've talked about that in the past because it would appear, just the way it's formatted here, Big Lots is a semi-independent institution funded by Medicare, Medicaid, private pay, mostly not county tax dollars. Its board is made up of three individuals, two appointed by this county board, and we just appointed Craig Lively recently, and the third one is appointed by the governor. The county board appoints an individual to go to the meetings, and Rich and Don have already been doing that, which has been fabulous. My very first meeting, I tried to vote. The civil council was next to me, and I said, you don't have a vote. So I have not forgotten that. But it's important to attend. As I said at the last meeting, that's going to emerge as a major issue. As I said, semi-independent, but it's going to lose projected close to $2 million this year. And I don't have an answer. I'm not sure there is a good answer, but it's a question that you're going to be grappling with. And I'm sure that you're going to do your best, and I'm not going to, if I had guidance, I'd sure give it to you. But anyway, it's a slightly different board from all the rest.
It is, and it's a board, and it's an operation that's in trouble right now. It's with COVID, with manpower issues that are here now, trying to find staff to work there. We're just over 50% capacity in there, and each one of those beds is, what, $125,000 when it's filled. When you have 40 beds or 50 beds sitting open, can't pay your staff, you can't pay your bills, and we're going to have to spend some time working with that.
And your relative who would benefit from Bay Bluffs can't get in. So it's a place that people love and are happy with the treatment, but there are more than 50 people on the waiting list, and that's because of manpower. So, as I said, I'm saying if there were an easy answer, sure the staff that would have found it, but whoever represents the county at that meeting is going to want to listen very carefully. And
and Charlie's always giving good updates on what's happening on that board, because at some point in time it is going to impact the board here and make a decision what the future of Bay Bluffs might look like. It's going to have to come back at some point in time. They need additional funding to keep this going. Need additional funding to keep it open. You can only go so many years that you lose a couple million dollars before you don't have it. If it wasn't for COVID and relief money, we'd be having that conversation today.
Right.
Just beware if you bring up the term privatization. People love Bay Bluffs, and they'll come in here with pitchforks.
Well, and we brought experts up from Chicago who were experts on privatization, and they said, we do this all the time. We don't think you should do it. It would have been a solution. Other county facilities have a millage. Charlevoix does, that supports it. But the problem with the millage is that, yes, it will help cure the financial problem, but you'll still have more than 50 people on the waiting list. So how do you say to a voter, please pay for a millage for Bay Bluffs, but your grandmother still can't get in? I think we have done, staff has done an outstanding job of really addressing some of the major issues. This will be one outstanding issue that I know you folks are going to work hard on, and grapple with, and tell me how the movie turns out.
I have a general question about Bay Bluffs. You mentioned that it's losing $2 million a year. Does that mean Emmett County is absorbing all that $2 million, or a certain percentage?
Excellent question, Chuck. Bay Bluffs has a fund balance. It's a little under $10 million, but it's not all cash. Some of it is accounts receivable, capital goods, but they're chewing away at that. And the question becomes, well, the question will be, when the cash runs out, then what?
And where did the cash come from?
Where does it come from?
Well, no, where is that fund balance? How did that get built up right now?
Right.
That was built up through federal assistance, through COVID, through wage compensation. So there's a cushion right now that's built in there because federal money came in to help the system. But also federal guidelines made it very restrictive what could be done in that building, too, during COVID. So the balancing act for that money will run out.
Yeah, and of that 10, or just under 10, they have booked $3.1 million for something called employee retention. Well, they booked it, so it shows there, but they are not 100% certain that the money will arrive. And I gave several of you my written report from last night where their chief financial officer said that if that money does not arrive, the issue really comes to the surface next year, by the end of next year, because that means that the just under 10 is really just under 7.
It's all cash.
And that's not all cash. So you have focused on the right question, and I wish I could tell you what the right answer is, but I don't. I don't know what it is.
Charlie, you've been at the board for a while. How long has Bay Bluffs been to pay?
Forever. But what saves it is an occasional infusion of capital money to fix. What happens is the fund balance is down. They've been making capital purchases. A millage is passed. That happened 10 years ago. It happened again recently. That allows them to make a capital investment. The strangest thing was it took me several years of sitting in those meetings, and I'm pretty good at numbers, to understand that it was losing money because each year the fund balance went down. Their excellent accounting firm did an audit every year. I read the audits. I go to the audit meetings. They said everything's great. And then a few years ago, when an attorney from Detroit came up here talking about capital investment, he said, you guys are losing money every year. For some reason, that was the first time I heard that. But that has been the case. And the reason is that it doesn't have an operating millage. It does. And they will tell you that, and they are correct. Pre-COVID, that would have solved the problem. Post-COVID, they still need the operating millage, but they don't have staff.
But pre-COVID, though, they also had 90 residents.
Correct.
Which made it. Could balance it out. The millage that was passed for capital improvement. So before that, Bay Bluffs was doing capital improvements. If they needed something in the building, they took care of it. The millage that was passed is for capital improvements in that building. Those are things that we, as the county, are doing. It's our building, so we're making those improvements. Instead of them paying for new windows or a new roof, we are doing that. So that frees up some of that money that they might have set aside for capital, and I think that was one of your infusions mm-hmm. that you're talking about. But the whole key to Bay Bluffs is getting people in those beds.
Several years ago, there was so much confusion about Bay Bluffs. The question was, what is Bay Bluffs? Well, that seems like a pretty easy thing, Emma County Medical Care Facility. But we had to hash out three letters of understanding that said, we are the landlord because the county owns the building. It sits on land that was given to the county by the city of Harbor Springs with a provision that it must be used for a county medical care facility. If it's no longer used, they would like the land back. So it was determined that we're the landlord. Now, you'd think we'd know that. And they are the tenant. They operate something called Babe Loves in our building. So, but it took three letters of understanding to sort that out, and we benefit from that. And someday in your spare time, you're going to want to read those letters. But it
has
been. I was
just going to say, those need to be provided. I think that that gives a clear understanding, or at least a little bit clearer understanding, because until then, we didn't understand what our responsibility, what is Emmett County's responsibility, and what is it that they're doing. They're running a business inside of our building. So that you have to understand all that, and I think that those letters, and maybe Administrator Boyer will take some time to do that as an agenda so that you guys can understand that.
We have to take care of our buildings.
Sure. So the key to Bay Bluffs, Dave, you just said, is to fill the beds. The key to filling the beds is to get employees in there, right? To take
right.
care. So that's really the issue.
That's one of
the major issues that can go a long way. If we were fully staffed, we could fill those beds quickly.
I think Charlie mentioned there's probably 50 or 60 people waiting in this right now to get in there. It's certainly the demand is there, but the staff isn't.
And that's Emmett County residents are not getting care they need.
Right, they had more than 200 employees. They're down to 120.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week operation.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. They would say, well, they only have 60 people. Why do they need 120 employees? It's 24 hours. You've got laundry. You've got
serious
food,
care, too.
You've got, sure. Most of the people going in there aren't leaving on their own free will.
And I will say it, I don't mind saying it in public, because I have been there with three administrators and searches for second and third. Lisa Ashley, no matter how critical I am of Babe Loves, does an excellent job of running a nursing home. Like me, she has shortcomings, but she does run a good facility. She is hired by that three-person board, two of whom you select and the third is selected by the governor. A good board. So, once again, if there were easy fixes, staff would have done it.
All right, any questions?
That was my main question.
So, I'd like an explanation for this revenue sharing reserve fund. Now, the next statement, Emmett County is the last county in the state to receive funds from the Revenue Sharing Reserve Fund.
Well, what it is, so I believe it was it 97 or 94 when this came into place. So the state quit funding revenue share. And each county had put so much money into this Revenue Sharing Reserve Fund so they could draw down on it until they were done with what's in their account. We are the last county to be in this. Once we are done with this, which I believe our last draw will be in 23, what will happen is we will start getting money from the state of Michigan for the revenue sharing. Instead of the reserve fund, which is our own money, it'll come from the state itself. So, and it was funds to cover part of the budget that was actually paid by the state. So it was kind of an unfunded mandate in a way, where money was given to the counties and then they took it away because they were in a crisis. And once that money ran out in our own reserve, then the state share started coming back.
So we will give them.
Yes.
Jim Campbell used to talk about that all the time.
Also, with that, there is a bill or a couple bills right now, so that those monies, whatever they decide, right now it's like up to each legislature coming in what our percentage would be. And they could change that according to their own priorities. As you'll learn sitting up here, our state legislature loves to pass down unfunded mandates. They love to write bills, but they don't have them paid for. They expect us to print money and come up with magic money out of trees or something, I don't know. And to do that, so that's what MAC does, the Association of Counties, it helps. That's our lobbyists to push back against these legislators who like to write bills, get their names on things, and never have any money to fund what they say they want to do. So, but we're going to be back in that formula finally. Like I said, Pam said, the last one. But the bills that are out there right now are so that it gets, that percentage gets ensconced in the Constitution so that it isn't up to the whims of legislators down the road. So I imagine you'll be getting, when that comes up for votes, you'll be getting some prompts from MAC to send in an automated letter. And it's really easy to do that, and that helps them support and talk to the legislators. Well, I got 75 commissioners here, right here. They don't like this, or they're supporting this, and that gives them the ammo they need to go to bat for us.
And I guess my point is, though, we owe it a lot to you guys and the former commissioners for handling the money as good as you did to be the last state, or the last county in the state in this position.
If I remain to that, Pam, would you talk about the retirement program?
Yes. So most counties have what you call a defined benefit program, where what's happening is you have a retirement plan through the state of Michigan. Well, back in, I don't even know what year it was, Lynn Johnson had the foresight to get out of that program. Most counties have to add to their balance sheet a deficit of what is owed to the retirement office. It's kind of like what the schools do. It's the same thing. There's a lot of counties that are in the $17 million that they owe to the state of Michigan. And we would be in that same boat if Lynn would not have done what he did way back when.
The fixed pensions. So we switched from that to a defined contribution.
And they ask you to put so much money, if everybody retired at once, you're supposed to have a percentage. We're at 100 and what? We're the only county.
125%.
We're the only county over 100%. The least county, and I don't know the name, but I do the number, only has 17% of a funded retirement program. Yeah, Brian, being a new retiree, kind of snapped his head back on that one. And the revenue sharing, there's two forms. There's the constitutional revenue sharing, which cities get, which are mandated in the Michigan Constitution. When they did that, they did not put counties as mandated, but made it discretionary. And now what Mr. Aaron's talking about is we want to get that in the Constitution so that it can't be touched every time it's changed.
Wasn't that tied to the revenue sharing issue, though? Wasn't there some connection?
To be honest, Charlie, I don't know.
It's based on sales tax, wasn't it? Personal property. I think that's what the revenue sharing
is. Yeah, I believe that's what.
Good information. Thank you.
You'll find we're in an enviable position, and a lot of other commissioners in other counties wish that they had the finances we have.
We're number one in a lot of areas.
Yeah. You'd be proud.
Our recycling, our retirement, revenue sharing, our fair. There, Alec. That's game for you right there.
I'm sorry, Susan. I know that you wanted to speak tonight, and I kind of agreed over boards and commissions and how we get members on there. If you want to just give a...
Just to add a little bit, I do the best I can to track all of the terms for all of those committees, when terms end, when there's a resignation. A lot of the department heads, Tammy helps me out a lot. But I try to do my best at keeping those updated. When somebody resigns, it comes to the board and they accept the resignation, and then I post those, or have Tatum post them on the website so that those positions are open. A lot of people reapply, so that's nice.
So you'll see that each meeting that comes forward, was it
It's always at the second meeting.
Second meeting, you're going to see the openings and the potential candidates that we have that have applied for these jobs. It's a lot of members. I don't know if you've ever added it all up, how many committee members we have out there, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I think there's still over 30 committees. And you guys have cleaned them up. It's been nice, but there's still a lot out there. So. And then if I can have one more thing that you reminded me of this when you're talking about the code of conduct. You all have to take your oath of office as well. In the past, if you want to just come to my office, I can give you your oath. We can do it at the organizational meeting and everybody do it at once. Or you can just come to my office and do it individually. So I don't know.
I think there's one thing we could ask Dave to add. Would you talk about civil counsel?
Civil counsel, reason you don't see someone sitting here, we used to have a civil counsel sit here. When our last attorney left us, we made the decision to hire a firm. Instead of hiring one person to be our civil counsel, we basically hired 26 or 28 attorneys that sit in this firm. The firm we hired only does municipal law, and you'll see on Zoom or at times in person, depending on what we have on the agenda, that will come in here. Then we have one of the leading experts on FOIA, properties. We have a whole tool or handbag that we can now call one firm up and get that expert. We spent a lot of times when we had civil counsel, we were going for outside counsel besides civil counsel. There is no way that you can be an expert on what's going on in the airport, what's going on, and, just a multitude. Thank you. Of issues that we have. For an example, the last one we just did, we finished up the property sale up at the lighthouse up there, and that was an extremely complicated process that we went through. But we have the attorneys on board that could do it. So you might not always see somebody sitting there, but they're at every one of our meetings. They're there. We have two attorneys that normally work with us. One was the corporate counsel for Oakland County, so very familiar with Oakland County. The other attorney, Steve Johnson, who sits here, has 30-plus years of municipal law. That's all he does, and he's one of the partners in the company. So I think, and hopefully it's all worked out well for you. I know we don't always have someone sitting here, but we have an expert, or we can have an expert from the same firm.
Sometimes you'll hear a voice from on high, but it's an attorney.
Keeps us on track.
Do not be afraid.
Don, do you have any questions?
No. I've been listening to you guys. I really appreciate the room that you guys have picked for us newbies here. It's going to make our job a lot easier. But I agree that it's going to be a learning curve as you go.
And please, take your time and ask questions.
Yeah. Something comes up, I'll ask. Which still went better? I was going to ask about it anyway. So.
You have a lot of questions.
Well, you can spend a lot of time on that.
That's good. Like, I will just be doing it.
Chuck, any questions? Rich?
I'm good.
Ryan?
Just did a meeting a couple meetings ago. You had mentioned building needs are substantial. I take it, is there plan and how that's going to be addressed?
We've addressed the next couple of years, but going past that will be before you with right. Some plans in the future.
Have you provided that study like you did to us?
We did a study in all of our facilities. They came, we had a company come and do an audit. Right. That's where we came up with the numbers, and we're happy to share that with you.
It's more light reading.
Yeah.
Don't read anything before that.
So what we've been doing, and kind of similar to you, I was listening to your board meeting today, is that we have been reactive, unfortunately. So when something breaks, we react to it and we fix it. We're trying to be proactive, and we did get some of the ARPA funds set aside. And we also set aside general fund money to do improvements. But you can walk around these buildings. These are aging buildings, and structurally we have challenged roofs, HVAC units, every one of the buildings has a problem. We have an issue in this room with our sound and how to run proper sound in this room. And Tatum's working on it right now, but the best system we can have is a hardwired system. None of these floor jacks that were there are there anymore, so we have to. It's not some things that are just easy enough where you just throw a mic here. We certainly have challenges in our buildings. We have a jail that's an aging jail. Technology has changed.
I will tell you, Brian, we don't have a secret. It takes us as long to get vehicles as it did you.
Right.
Any other questions, gentlemen? Commissioners? I hear you breathing, Charlie.
You can't make it 3 hours, Charlie. I'm sorry.
Don't tempt him.
$20.
Mr. McGinnis goes to Washington.
Two things. Read the material before the meeting. You'll get it at least 3 days in advance. It's a lot. But the more you are prepared, the more you will be able to fulfill your responsibilities. Number two, who are the facilities with coordination from the administrator? Mike Kaiser knows that a ride-along with the deputy is an eye-opener. We have an outstanding sheriff's department. I did that a few years ago with a fellow who's now the chief downstate. Tour the jail. Walking out of the jail is a remarkable experience all by itself. Didn't realize how tight my chest was until I walked out. But that is a facility. I mean, it's right here. It's in the same building. And so it's useful to see that component of our place. It'll be hard to tour Bay Bluffs because they remain, it's a facility where people have to be protected. So all the meetings, as you folks know, are over at the airport. So that's going to be a tough one to coordinate, but if you can, if Lisa Ashley can accommodate you, okay, I think that would be useful, and you can, among other things, see the capital investment we're doing here. When I got elected, I got smarter and taller, and I was just amazed. I had to get over that. A little humility goes a long way. People do treat you a little bit differently. And you have to respect that. So those are, I guess, my main comments. My theory is no matter how much I may not agree with somebody sitting next to me at this table, the one virtue that that person has that I really respect is they raised their hand, put their name on the ballot, got elected, and showed up. So we may disagree on topics, but each one of us showed up. When the meeting's over, we go home and go on with our lives. The other thing, of course, is that this one's really important. Your power is limited to really one thing, to vote at a properly noticed public meeting at which a quorum is present. Between meetings, you can't marry people. You can't do a lot of other stuff. You're just another person. People will know you. They will recognize you.
Everywhere.
Everywhere you go, that is correct. But the only time that you can act is at a properly known as public meeting in which a quorum is present. And so we can act right now within constraints. But after the meeting's over, we take off our county commissioner hat. When I got elected, my wife got me a bathrobe that says county commissioner, so I can sit in the TV room, and she's really impressed. But nobody else is.
That's a picture I don't even know.
Yeah. I don't think I had to tell you that.
It's hard for you to continue on here.
Charlie.
Cute.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I can't get that picture out of my mind.
No.
Stand in front of the mirror.
Public comment? No other round table. The floor is open for public comment. If you want to follow Charlie in the bathroom, go right ahead.
Please don't.
I don't recommend it.
I want you to please remember the public, too, in all of this. And the other thing is, just in thinking of the things you talked about tonight, one thing, and I used to kind of know the answer to this, and I don't anymore, and I think Pam's the one that's going to be able to talk about this. In travel for the commissioners, they used to have access to county vehicles. Like if they were going to, there were two of them maybe going to Traverse City for a meeting, rather than paying separate gas mileage, they would use a county car. And I'm just wondering, I don't know anymore if that's something you advise or you don't, or where you stand on it. Thank you.
No. We recommend that two are traveling to the same meeting. Hopefully they'll be back together. I said no. We don't have county vehicles. We don't have that many vehicles in the pool to begin with. But if people are traveling together, we ask. Or if we're going to a meeting, David, I've taken you to many meetings. We try to carpool and do what we can to save. I don't think anybody likes driving their personal cars, but unfortunately, we have cut back on our pool, and between the vehicles that we have and the staff that needs to use them, there isn't always a vehicle here to use. What we've actually done is pulled some of the old sheriff vehicles out that we were taking out of the fleet, and you'll see two or three of them here in our fleet now, so we have vehicles that to go someplace that they have a vehicle. Fortunately, we just don't have those resources anymore.
I know when we went to conferences, we, a lot of the commissioners,
we just carpooled.
We carpooled, and several times we had four commissioners in a vehicle, but you just don't talk business. Just don't put yourself in those positions. But in that one position, we did. That one time we had four of us going down, and we saved the county money, but you just have to be conscious of your surroundings.
And your conversation.
And your conversation. There you go.
Any other public comment? Tammy and Agnes have been sitting there so quietly.
Come and see the fair.
Those are two people that you'll see more than one time throughout the year. Tammy, with everything that's going on, Agnes comes two or three times a meeting, and she promotes the fair and all the good stuff that's going on the fair. She'll come with the contracts for next year and what she has there. You'll find that we have a good group of employees here that are dedicated to this community and want to see this county move forward.
Any other comment?
We would like to thank the board members that are going off the board. Some of you have served for quite a few years. You did a really good job. We'd like to wish you well.
You're here.
I second that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, two more meetings, though.
That's a
three. The institutional memory is important, especially with what we've been doing over the years. Charlie's provided a lot of that.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't think Charlie is just going to disappear. I don't think Tony will disappear either.
Not with that bathrobe. He's going to be around.
No.
If he wears it to a meeting, though. You just have to have dates embroidered in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't follow him on a windy day.
Well, I would say that institutional knowledge is buried in all the procedures and policies of the staff, and I think that you're going to be just fine. You will discover stuff. You will make decisions on your own. You will do your best, and I'm not inclined to whisper in your ear and tell you how to do it because you're here.
No question is a dumb question, ever.
That's right.
Ask it.
And you're representing the county, too. I know you have districts. All said and done, it's really what's best for this county.
And always remember the people, you also serve the people that didn't vote for you, too.
Right.
They're also county residents. So not just your supporters, but people who don't support you. You still have to represent them, too.
And you'll get emails from them.
Yes.
There's another one.
Probably more than from your supporters.
Definitely.
Any other comments?
Chair, can I just make one comment?
Yeah.
I just would like to remind everybody when you come to your budget meetings next, I think tomorrow, please bring your budget book.
The big one.
That little book that I handed out.
It's
Wednesday.
Mine's tomorrow.
Mine's tomorrow.
Yes.
Do we have time set up for Wednesday? I sent you the date back, but I don't have time to ask.
So we have.
We've already had ours.
2 o'clock? Okay.
Do you have them all there?
Thank you.
Tomorrow is David, Tony, and Charlie at 10 o'clock.
Right.
The 30th, Chuck and Don and Brian are at 10 o'clock. And then Neil and Rich are at 2 o'clock.
Oh, it isn't. I'm sorry. I do have it here.
Everybody got it?
Yep.
Anything else?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
We are adjourned.
Second.